All right, welcome back, everybody. I got some phenomenal chats coming in here. I actually got a text message I got to share with you guys. Type in your biggest takeaway from session one. Type in your biggest takeaway. What hit you? What did you get? It said, "Ugh, I got to own that," okay? Or, "Yay, I'm going to own that." Cindy, this is great, Howard. I look forward to going through the other principles. All right. Jamie said her biggest takeaway was know him equals no peace. Know him equals no peace. Let's see. I love that quote from Rusty, who is 15 now, 15. And he said, the horn on the bike should be positive self-talk. Which, by the way, there is the self-talk card is in this book also. Peter, spirit versus flesh. Yes. You know, when we understand that how God made us, that we're made in God's image, God is a spirit, God is love. That means that we were made, we're wired for love, as Dr. Caroline Leaf says. And the problem is the fall, right? So we became separated from God. I did the gospel presentation on our last conference, or the July conference, I think it is. And the thing is that what happens is in our soul, our mind, will, and emotion, remember that we're spirit, soul, and body. And what happens is in our thoughts and our feelings, if we're operating out of the flesh, then we're going to get those deeds of the flesh, right? So, and those are the things that we do. When we operate out of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, those kinds of things. I don't have them memorized, but I'm going to put them in the Phenomenal Youth book, because we have to understand that when we live out of who we are and whose we are, and we live out of the spirit, God works through us. When we live out of our own fleshly mind and intellect, then we get the deeds of the flesh. Look around in our world. Are most people happy? Are most people healthy? Are most people prosperous? In other words, are most people broken in debt, or are many people broken in debt, or they have more money? They got a lot of money that's revealed their character flaws, and they've got problems because of that. Okay. As we learned a couple of weeks ago on the Inner Circle website, money doesn't make the person, it reveals the person. Okay. Do most people feel secure? Are most people fearful and have a lot of anxiety? Most people have good family relationships and real friends, regardless of their social media account. Most people exercising hope. The answer is no. And what's happened is we've replaced the truth that we're going through here with the so-called wisdom of the world. Oh, no, God, that was made up. Now that's old school. That's boring. Religion is, you know, all the things that people say. Okay, Sheila, all principles to review daily and put the right thinking in the mind. Yes, 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 and yes. Anyway, so here is my text messaging was, Stephanie, I haven't watched this video yet, but I'm going to watch it on the break, and I'm going to ask you if I can share it if we feel like we want to share it. But anyway, Stephanie, who Jeremy and Stephanie started with us in Inner Circle way back in 2012. They had a teeny tiny business, and they didn't know who they were. They didn't have the self-image like all of us that they needed to have. And they built their business up. About 2 years ago, they had a little daughter by the name of Charlotte. And they are on, Stephanie and Charlotte are on. And she sends me a text message that says, Charlotte's watching, 2 years old, and she's loving the Zig music. So I sent that to Victoria because I said, hey, Victoria, start playing some more of that music because Charlotte's loving it. And Victoria's like, we got a new target market. Yes, we do. See, what if Charlotte, what if Gigi, what if Elijah Howard Partridge, who is due in 9 days, scheduled in 9 days or less, what if they grew up with the truth, not with religion, not with legalism, and not with, the idea of just go follow your heart and be happy. No. Proven principles like we're talking about today that end up with that take you to a place where when you know him and you know who you are, why you're here, you know your purpose, you know your calling, that you have peace, you love other people, you have faith, and you have hope for the future. Yes or yes? Okay. All right. Let me bring up my PowerPoint once again. Santi would be so mad at me right now because he showed me a way to just go straight to my PowerPoint without showing all my other stuff that I'm doing. And I just haven't gotten used to it yet. Seems like there's always an issue with it. But anyway, okay. Principle number six, you're at the top win. Can you guys see my slide deck and see it changing? I need a yes and a yes. Yes and yes. Somebody help a brother out. Yes and yes. Yes times two. Perfect. Okay, great. All right. You're at the top when you're mature enough to delay gratification and shift your focus from your rights to your responsibilities. Let's do this one in two parts because this is a big one today, isn't it? You're at the top when you're mature enough to delay gratification and shift your focus from your rights to your responsibilities. We have rights as individuals, but we have responsibilities to one another. We have responsibilities to our family. We have responsibilities to our children. We have responsibilities to our grandkids and to our coworkers and our team members and all that. Where we've gotten off track in this culture is it's the me generation. I got my rights. Yeah, you do. But you also have your responsibilities. Tom tells a story that his dad, Zig Ziglar, came home and he was all excited because he had just gotten booked to go and do a tour in Australia, a 3 week tour in Australia, if you can imagine that. And him and his wife, the redhead, were going to Australia for 3 weeks. And Tom was 20 at the time. And he's like, man, he said, one thing I know is that a 3 week trip is going to require a lot of luggage. And, they need a 20-year-old to go with them, carry that luggage. So he said, Dad, take me with you. I'll carry the luggage. And Zig didn't say no. Instead, Zig asked him a question. He said, Tom, Isn't it your goal to become a professional golfer? That was Tom's goal, if you didn't know that. He was wanted to be a professional golfer. He was getting training. This was in the summertime, and he was getting training from one of the top golf instructors in the world. And he had made a commitment to practice a certain number of times a week throughout that summer. He wouldn't make the golf team if he didn't do it. And so Zig said, "Is that really your goal?" He said, "Yes, Dad." He said, "Well, go into Australia with us, take you closer to or further away from your goal." Zig didn't have to say another word. He didn't say no, have to say no. You made a commitment, so you got to take care of that responsibility. Just ask a question. Now, if Tom didn't have that goal, he didn't have that wish, that desire. Then go to Australia. One of the skills that we've lost, and I'm right there with you in some areas. I've been very open about, my eating habits and things like that. And I've been healthy, very healthy for long periods of time and very, very fit. And I'm not like hugely out of shape right now, but it's just eating, I think, and diet is one of those things that it when I got healthy the first time, my 50th birthday, I did 50 push-ups on the stage and got like a standing ovation and a couple hundred people clapping, and Tom was there, and I was like, "What was that all about?" And he said, "'Cause people know how hard it is." And so one of the skills that we've lost is the ability to delay gratification. So my question to you is, do you want to be at the top? And if you want to be at the top, are you mature enough to delay gratification, what you want now, for what you want the most? Gigi, my granddaughter, was over here the other day, and she's not even 2 yet. Today we're celebrating her birthday a week early. Her birthday is next week on the 21st. We're celebrating today because we got another baby on the way. And she's at that age where she doesn't know how to communicate. She's got a huge vocabulary, but the emotions just get the best of her. And she loves taking a bath because she got all the toys and everything. She was over here at our house, and Christian and Susie were here, and Denise, and all four of us are in the living room. And she needed to eat dinner first, but she wanted that bath, and she squatted down and cried, and everybody's like talking to her from around the room. Of course, Baba was right there, of course. And that's my grandfather name. Supposed to be Papa, but it came out as Baba, so it stayed Baba. And hold on. Gigi, you want to take a bath? Okay. I tell you what. How about if we go eat your dinner and then you can take a bath? Okay. Thank you, Baba. I guess sometimes you just got to ask the right question, approach it the right way. The point is that if we want to have it all, so to speak, have that feeling of freedom and that all those things, all those 8 things that we talked about earlier, then we're going to have to. Zig Ziglar said that the chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what you want most for what you want right now. Christian, when he was younger, when he read that, really got a hold of him. And so he and I are both in a new health program and on track again. And he's being militant like I used to be. Like the first time I got healthy, I was militant. I mean, like it was a religion. I will not deviate, one little jot, one little tittle will not be left out. I mean, it was like, I was like that. And long story short of how I got off track, got back on track for yeah, maybe a year or so at a time or whatever. And so the other night, he's like, "How you doing on the program? And you're not doing this and you're not doing that." It's really funny. And we kind of pick at each other like that. So finally I was like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. I did this for 8 years." Because he's like, "Howard, you're not committed." I was like, "Well, what about my work ethic?" "Yeah, well, in business." "What about my spiritual life?" "Well, that." "What about in my marriage?" "Yeah, okay." And I said, "I tell you what, I did this for 8 years. When you're at 8 years in one day, come talk to me." Anyway, we were kind of joking a little bit about that. But the thing is, if you want to grow, you know this. I don't have to tell you this, but in order to, so many times we need to be reminded rather than taught. Rather than being taught, we just need to be reminded. The second part of this is when you know that failure to stand for what is morally right is a prelude to being the victim of what is criminally wrong. You're at the top. When you know that failure to stand for what is morally right is a prelude to being the victim of what is criminally wrong. Where were all the white people during the civil rights movement? I was talking to my mentor last night. He, during the couple of years that I haven't been in touch with him, you know, really in touch, I've had lunch with him. But he wrote a little book called The Sins of the Silent. The Sins of the Silent. And I'm not going to get into the whole political scene that's going on right now, but what are you not standing up for right now because you feel like it's impolite? You feel like you'll be judged. You feel like you'll be ridiculed. You see, we are victims of our culture because we let it happen. If anybody can tell me that our culture in America is okay, we need to sit down and have a talk because it's not. You're at the top when you're secure in who you are and at peace with God and in fellowship with others. You're at the top when you're secure in who you are and you're at peace with God and in fellowship with others. You got to understand who you are in Christ. I wrote a little book called Think and Be Phenomenal. And after I got done with it and published it and all of that, I thought to myself, you know, you rushed through that book. I wanted to get that book out to Inner Circle members because there are some things in there that I thought were really valuable. And they are. In fact, Don Schmidt, who's one of our Inner Circle members who lives in Amsterdam, Tom and I went there to speak and he joined the Inner Circle. His little business had done a whopping $20,000 for the whole year. This was October of or September, late September of 2016. And he handed me his Inner Circle form after we'd spent several days together and they took us all over Amsterdam, and we went to see the windmills, and we went to Corrie Ten Boom's house, Anne Frank Museum, and all that. Just had a wonderful time. And we had sat down at The Hague at Starbucks, and we were talking, and previous to that, the way that we ended up in Amsterdam to start with is he had come to our Inner Circle conference, and God just got a hold of him. Like, you could listen to a story. It's on one of our testimonial reels somewhere, but just in his hotel room, and just opened his eyes to everything that was going on. Anyway, so he goes back and he said, "Well, we're going to put on an event. We're going to bring Howard and Tom over here," which we did. It was great. And so after several days together, we sat down at the Starbucks, and I said, "So, how's your business?" And he started sharing what was going on. And I said, "Okay, well, let's work on it." We got out, just a little envelope or something, whatever scrap paper that was around, and started, putting down some ideas for him. And he later on that day, before we left, and he dropped us back at the hotel, we had these little yellow Inner Circle enrollment forms back then, and he had folded it up to about that big and handed it to me, and he was shaking like this. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I want to become an Inner Circle member." It's like, awesome. Looking forward to working with you. He will probably do $1 million this year from 20,000. And when he started really growing, I asked him, I said, "Don, what was the point that you that the lights went on?" And he said, "I was stuck and I looked up at my bookshelf and there was Think and Be Phenomenal, and that the lights just went on right then." Well, the last chapter of that book has 73 scriptures, 73 scriptures of your identity in Christ. If you know Christ, if you know God, if you are born again, if you call yourself a Christian, and I know that everybody that follows us is not a believer, that's okay. We still love you. Okay. We love you. God loves you. He created you. He wants you to know him, because that's when you're going to really be secure in who you are. You're going to be at peace with God. And now you can properly love other people. Anyway, when I first came to know God, I was, again, just, I guess, my nature, very militant. When I learn something new, it's like, I get into it. I get into it. I read the Bible 4 hours a day, every day, and every person that that I ran into, I beat them over the head with the Bible, including my wife. And finally, she got tired of it. And she said, "Look," she said, "I might be Catholic and stupid, but I do know one thing: Jesus was a single man. And if you keep following me around, telling me what I'm doing wrong, you can be like Jesus. I mean, that can be arranged." And something I heard once that preached the gospel and, if necessary, use words came to my mind. So I started loving Denise. I started serving Denise. And now she might be a stronger believer than I am. I don't know. But, the point is that you're probably grateful. If you don't know God, you're probably grateful that I didn't just get saved, because that'd be really hitting you hard. But I'm sharing this with you because we love you. Zig left this behind for us. These are his words. So if you have respect for him, he would be the first one to tell you two things: that that's where he got his truth from, and that his ulterior motive, if there is one. Ulterior motive, however you say that. That his motive was that people would come to know Christ as a result of going through his teaching. Because you can't really start really thinking about yourself and really do personal development and self-development without thinking about, well, where did I come from? Why am I here? What's the point? You're at the top when you're secure in who you are, and you're at peace with God and in fellowship with others. See, I knew God, but I wasn't in fellowship with other, I was only in fellowship with the militants like me. That's it. The religious like me. So there's this religious spirit that gets on us. And we have to understand who we are in Christ. Anyway, so the last chapter of Think and Be Phenomenal has 73 scriptures that I found through my study that describe a person who is in Christ, a person who's born again, someone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 73. So, who are you? Are you a sinner or are you a saint? God made you a new creature. When you come to know him, you will be transformed into a new creature. You're transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. Christ is in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Zig Ziglar said, you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. What has gone into your mind about who you are, where you are, where you're going, why you're here. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind. It doesn't matter what it is, even spiritual things. First, we have a thought. A thought comes into our mind. Is it the truth? What does God say about me? I was talking to a friend, or actually texting back and forth, and he said that there are four voices that we listen, that we hear: God's voice, the devil's voice, other people's voice, and our own voice. That our thoughts are voices, and we have to decide which of those voices we're going to listen to. Because your beliefs are changed through your thinking. And you, at the end of the day, you're going to do what you believe. See, Zig said you have to be before you can do. You have to do before you can have. If you want to have a different outcome, you got to do something different. But you're not going to consistently do inconsistent with how you see yourself. Again, self-image. I'm a child of God. You know what one of my most precious possessions is? You guys may not know this, but in all my planners, I have planners going back to 2012. So 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And then now I just started 21. So I have 10 Ziglar performance planners. And I save stuff. When we did our virtual conference in May, there was the daughter, 9-year-old daughter of one of our members, and her name is Olivia, but she spells it A-L-I-V-A, Aliva, Olivia. Anyway. So I did the whole BTP thing. And so she types in, now figure this one out. So one of the letters that she had in her little stream was COG. I was like, okay, what does that stand for? Child of God. You're a COG. You're a cog in the system of the universe, God's plan. You're a cog in God's plan. You're at the top when you've made friends of your adversaries and have gained the love and respect of those who know you best. When I first started in this industry, a lot of people don't know this, but one of the reasons I started in this industry is there was a guy who came into our industry, and it was the most obnoxious so-called business training, over the top, just, I can't even use the right words for it because there are children present. Okay, how about this? It was a bunch of junk. Junk. And I mean, he was taking people's money. He was taking people's money. He was taking people's money. I'm glad you guys don't see the text because some people from the original industry where I started know who I'm talking about. Somebody typed in his initials. And man, I said, somebody has to tell the truth. So I started to advertise. I put my shingle out. I had, four little dinky manuals. I did my first seminar and there were four people there and I didn't have any clue how to do it at all. But I knew what I was talking about because I have a very successful business in that space. All I had to do then was teach other people, how to do it. Well, we got in huge, huge fights. And I mean, we were just like the fiercest competitors. Now, he was very successful financially. And to this day, financially, his business is even way more successful than mine. Minus, he went on to do some amazing things. But guess what? I wouldn't want his business. I wouldn't want his life. I wouldn't want to be associated with some of the people he's associated with. Anytime his name came up, I just cringed. And what I hated more than anything else is he was making more money than I was. He was people buying his stuff. My stuff might be the truth, but I wasn't selling like he was. It's like, what is the deal? And it took me several years to get over that. We had some public fights in the middle of a buffet line at a hotel when a conference is going on, all kinds of things. He was a brilliant marketer. What can I say? Still is. So I finally decided that, Howard, this is not serving you well. It's not serving anybody well. So you just got to get over it. So I just decided to get over it. And a couple of years went by, and we were both speaking at an event. And I walked into this ballroom, and there were 1,000 people in there. I was speaking, he was speaking. And he was standing at the back of the room. And I literally walked up to him, and I put my arm around him, and I said, listen. Whatever it is that we've been in gone through in the past, listen, that's in the past. I wish you the best, something like that. And you could tell he was very appreciative of that. Second part of this, gain the love and respect of those who know you best. You know, when you get to know somebody, when you travel with them, Tom Ziegler and I have traveled the world together for years, years. Now, over the last few years we started sort of going, we weren't doing the business building workshops, you know, but I have a ton of respect for him, and he has a ton of respect for me. That man respected his, to this day, just respected his father, because again, the thing about the Ziglars is they're just real. They're authentic. You don't have one guy on the stage and another guy behind the scenes. You don't get a Tom Ziglar on the stage and a Tom Ziglar at the back of the room. He's the same guy. And we both have, we're like, you know, oddball. I mean, we're like the odd couple, really. I mean, you know, Tom and I are just two completely different people. I talk to him just about every week. I help him run the Ziglar Corporation now, and I keep the systems going with the help of Alexandra, his daughter. I mean, we got this book, and Tom's new program, Choose to Win, is a new coaching program now, and we got that, got the company all systematized and everything. And the pleasure of having Alexandra on my team is just incredible, because what a dream come true for Tom. She wasn't planning on working in the Ziegler Corporation. I don't know what she was planning on doing, but you know, Tom and I both just assumed that she would get some kind of corporate job and, you know, climb the corporate ladder and whatever. But anyway, so Tom and I traveled the world together, and he is very much an intellectual. And just yesterday, I had an hour call with him, which ended up being about 90 minutes, hour and a half. And Tom was giving me all the intellectual reasons of the reason our culture and what's happening today. It's just like he's a thinker, you know, and I'm just out there, you know how I am. Anyway, the point is that we both have gained the love and respect of each other because we really know each other. And so this, by the way, was in front of Cambridge University. We got to speak at Cambridge University. Michael LeBlanc just chatted in. He said, "I remember that photo." He and Lewis were with us. We went to Cambridge University with 10 of Zig Ziglar's best friends: Bernie Lovechick, Dave Hurley, Larry Carpenter, who wrote the foreword to Born to Win, Tom and myself. And I gave away a trip, and Michael LeBlanc, who wins everything, went on that trip, and he brought Lewis with him. So he was there when we took this picture. Anyway, we traveled all over the world, and when we first started traveling together, we had just put our agreement together. This was March of 2012, I think it was, that was coming up. And this trip to Australia was coming up. And I was talking to Tom, and Tom said, "Hey, I'm going to Australia to speak." And I said, "Oh, okay, great. Well, tell me, you know, what's happening over there." He said, "I'm going to do a keynote on Born to Win for Business Leaders on the chapter that you and I worked on. And I'm going to do several, you know, 1 hour workshops for business owners." And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. The content that we teach in the business owner boot camp is my content. I have to go to Australia. Denise has always said she wanted to go to Australia. It's on her bucket list. So I was like, "Do you mind if Denise and I go?" He's like, "Oh, that'd be great." So Denise, Christian, and myself, Tom and his daughter Alexandra, who was 17 at the time, We all flew over there to Australia, and we were doing these little workshops, and one thing led to another. Tom tells the story. It's a beautiful story. But what happened was I was just trying to get Alexandra involved, and I paid attention to her. And I mean, this is Tom Ziegler's daughter, the granddaughter of Zig Ziegler, right? Make sure that she's comfortable and noticed and all that kind of stuff. So I decided to invite her up to the front of the room to write on the whiteboard because we were doing these workshops that was kind of like stump the chump, right? And so would say, okay, what's your biggest business challenge? What and we just get all these challenges. We fill up the whiteboard with these challenges, and then we go one by one, here's how to solve them. So I was like, hey, Alexandra, why don't you come up here and put this stuff on the board. I didn't know that she was embarrassed. And so that's Howard. Just throw it all out there. I didn't know that she went to Tom on the break and said, you tell Howard not to invite me up there again. I didn't know. And guess what? He got busy, forgot to tell me. So next session, hey, Alexander, why don't you come up here? And he's like, she got so mad at Tom. And he kept forgetting to tell me. So finally, the last session, I'm like, hey, Alexandra. Tom's like, ooh. And we looked at the back of the room. She was gone. She just took off. She's 17. You can't just take off in Australia. I mean, well, maybe she went to the restroom, whatever. She was sitting on the front row, ready to write on the board. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, except that if you're 17 and you just like, you don't want to, you're here for the sightseeing after the fact. You don't want anybody paying attention to you. And just like that, because all these people came up to her on a break and encouraged her and asked her questions and everything. Like Tom said, she just changed. I didn't know her. I mean, she was 17 years old. I didn't know her. And just changed just like that. And she grew so much on that trip. Goes to college. She's about to graduate college. I get off of a flight at Hobby Airport, and Alexandra Ziegler comes to my mind, comes to my heart. I said, I wonder if she's in trouble or something. So I sent her a text message. How you doing? What's up? I know you're about to graduate college. Are you, do you know where you're going to go to work yet? She said, I don't know yet. And I said, I'm sure you got a bunch of interviews lined up, whatever. Anyway, the conversation went like that. And I got the sense that she didn't know what she was going to do, and she didn't have anything lined up. Well, Tom Ziegler and I had just started working closer with the Ziegler organization, taking another position there. And I said, well, let me just ask the question. Would you consider working for me? Question mark. Actually, I don't text like that. I text like this. I want to take 2 weeks off with a millennial and learn how to do this. Immediate. I'd love to. Just I thought, well, what? She didn't have to think about that. Come to find out, she was hoping to be on asked to be on the team. But the beautiful part about it, dream come true for Tom, is that he doesn't have to manage her. I do, or I did. I don't manage her anymore. And the reason is because of something that Tom told me right away. Because I told her, I said, look, I probably should have asked your dad first. I probably should have. Probably should have called him. Hey, I'm thinking about asking Alexandra if she wants to come to work for me. And I was thinking maybe Phenomenal Products. I wasn't even really thinking about Ziegler at that time anyway. So I call him up. I said, look, I'm thinking about asking Alexandra to work for us. Just between me and you, we're friends. We've traveled all over the world the last 4 years. And I know you know me. Nobody has to know. Is there any downside? He's like, I'm like, is there anything I need to know? He's like, there is one thing. And I was like, okay, lay it on me. What is it? I got to figure out if I can live with it. He says, she's smarter than both of us put together. And before too long, we'll both be working for her. She may not have the position or the title right now, but that's pretty much the truth. I don't manage her anymore. She manages the whole thing. Now, the reason that that's important is because now Tom, first of all, I mean, what would it mean to someone to have someone that he trusts to mentor and coach and help his daughter grow? And what does it mean to have a Ziegler, a young Ziegler, the only one, by the way, to help carry the legacy forward? You're at the top when you understand that others can give you pleasure, but genuine happiness comes when you do things for others. I watched a terrible documentary. I've been trying to get my head around what's happening with young people today. I have no clue. Honestly, I have no clue. It doesn't matter because God told me to do it. I know that God will do it. Sarah and Jamie will do it. The kids will do it. And again, you don't have to be great to start. You just got to start. And so I've been, figuring my way through this, and I want to understand their mindset. I want to understand what they're dealing with. And I watched this document. So I've been watching all these documentaries. I'm watching documentaries on everything that I can watch that have to do with kids and, that sort of thing. This one was called Social Animals, and they keyed in on three different young people, teenagers, and how social media had impacted their life. And there was one teenager who got in a bad relationship with someone, and all the things that were said about her online and all that. It was just terrible. I won't give you the details, but it was terrible. And when they were interviewing her parents, which, by the way, she was from a great home, her mother said something that got my attention. She said, my daughter, what I've seen is my daughter is happiest when she's helping someone else. You may know that up here, but God made us to help other people. He made us to love other people. That's where we get genuine happiness from. See, all of life is about relationships. It's about a relationship with God. It's about a relationship with each other. And when you pursue pleasure as the end goal, you'll never be satisfied, ever. But when you understand the concept of you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what it is that they want, when you understand that, everything changes. And when you practice that, that's when joy and fulfillment and all of that comes into play. I used to tell Zig when he was with us here on earth. So, I tell people that you stole that quote from Jesus, because Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, oh, that's all right. I know him personally. Yeah, he was so witty. The point is that the cure for young people is to serve other people. The cure for us is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and body, and to love others as ourselves. Jesus said that. He said, there's only two commandments. People talk about the Ten Commandments. They don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. They don't know what Dr. Robert Rome taught us at Spiritual Night last May of 2019 in Dallas. He shared why the Ten Commandments were given. It was to help you, not to hurt you. It was for a nation, and it was for his people. He loves you. He wants you to do well. You'll have genuine happiness when you help other people, and you'll get all of the nine things that you want out of life: to be happy, to be healthy, to be reasonably prosperous, to have friends, to have peace of mind, to have good family relationships, to be secure, to have hope for the future, and to love and to be loved. You're at the top when you're pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, and generous to the needy. Give, and it'll be given back to you. When people are grouchy or they're rude or whatever, have you ever heard the term that hurt people hurt people? Zig told a story that him and the redhead, this is his wife Jean, the redhead, he called her. He called her the redhead because she was a decided redhead. I mean, one day he said, one day she just decided. And her name is Jean. Of course, she passed away here a few years ago as well. And he said that they were coming into a restaurant and there were some bums, some loiterers sitting outside. And Zig started, complaining under his breath, why don't they go somewhere else? And she scolded him and she said, look, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what their past has been. You don't know what their hurts are. You don't even know them. And that's what I loved about Zig. Again, authentic, being real about, I was wrong. I was wrong. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've heard that before. Zig Ziglar added two words to that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. Let's do a better job of telling people and showing people how much we care about them. All right, we are going to go on our lunch break. We're going to take 45 minutes for lunch today. Let's see. We actually have 3 minutes for questions, 3 minutes for comments, takeaways. What was your biggest takeaway from this session? And I want you to write, sorry, I want you to rate. The second five, we just went through five more. And for those of you who do not have the book, I will type in the next five principles, which are you're at the top when you're mature enough to delay gratification and shift your focus from your rights to your responsibilities. When you know that failure to stand for what is morally right is a prelude to being victim of what's criminally wrong. You're at the top when you're secure in who you are and at peace with God and in fellowship with others. You're at the top when you made friends of your adversaries and have gained the love and respect of those you know best, or who know you best, sorry. You're at the top when you understand that others can give you pleasure, but genuine happiness comes from when you do things for others. You're at the top when you're pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, and generous to the needy. Okay, Biggest takeaways, we're all happier when we help others. Yes. Biggest takeaway, there are four voices, God, devil, others, and mine. Who am I listening to? Good takeaway there. Okay. All right. We're going to take a 45-minute break. We'll come back at 1 p.m. Central. And if you have any other takeaways or questions, we're going to have our final session after lunch. It'll be from 1 to 2 o'clock Central Time. We'll have one more hour to cover the final five of these principles. Please let me know how you're doing with this. Are you enjoying it? Is it resonating with you? If there's anything you want me to better communicate to you or to review or whatever, just let me know where your head and your heart is right now. Yes or yes? Okay, we'll be back.